Welcome aboard the A-Train Sports Talk Podcast. As I always say, it's the state's number one podcast. I can't prove it, but can't nobody else prove it either. But as I always say, what makes my podcast number one is not me, although I am the host and conductor, but what makes it number one is the guest that I have on the show. And today's guest is one of the top players in the state of Kansas in 5A. I would say 5, 6A, 4A, any classification. She did make the top list, though, in 5A. I believe she was the most valuable player in the ABCTL. Point guard. Made a transition from a small school to a bigger classification, which we're going to get into that. Took her team to the state tournament in the finals. Came up a little bit short, but was able to stop a dynasty. They knocked off St. Thomas Aquinas in their run of 7 state championships. Who am I talking about? I'm talking about the one that stirred the drink for the Mays South Lady Mavericks, Miss Ashley Singate. Welcome aboard. Glad to have you on here. It's been, I'll say like this. I thought I was going to have to put a full court trap to get you on the show, but we got you on here.
No, I'm excited to be here for sure.
I'm excited to have you on here. I like to say that you young ladies had a great season. I was kind of comparing y'all's programs, both the men and women's team, to that dominant program known as UConn, because both of their teams were in the Final Four this year. And I'm like,
yeah, I mean, we both had great season. Our boys ended up coming a little bit short, but they had an injury that kind of affected them a little bit. So,
and that leads me to the next point, because you young ladies had an injury too, except she played through it. What's her name? Skylar Seals, I believe.
Skylar Seals.
And she fought through it, but basically she was playing on a broke leg, and I'm like, my goodness, the toughness and tenacity of these young ladies.
Unfortunate too, because she was having the tournament of her life.
Right. So let me ask you this question, because I think you average around about 18 points a game, and I'm gonna ask you pretty much some of the same questions I asked Skylar, because it seemed like I'm getting the sentiment that with every team that has had some success, it didn't start during the school year, it started in the summer. But with you, it was a unique situation, because you came from Eureka. Mm-hmm. Believe 2A school.
Yeah.
And you go from 2A to 5A, to which I say there's probably not much difference between 5A and 6A, and I say that based on the fact that y'all play in the ABCTL, so y'all play against, I'll just throw it out there, Derby, which is a 6A school, which I had a split with them. So what was the biggest difference in the adjustment coming from a 2A school to playing at a 5A school at a higher level?
When I was at Eureka, they were actually 3A, but they just dropped down in classification this year. But I would say the biggest difference for me probably was just the unfamiliarity of all of it. Like, we're playing new teams, never seen before, new players I've never played. It was just all so unfamiliar, but I feel like I adjusted really well to that.
And in saying that, the adjustment period, how long did it take you to get used to your new teammates, and how long did it take for y'all gel? Because a lot of the work, as Skylar said, it started in the summertime, and that's when y'all knew that y'all were pretty much going to have a special season. So how long did it take to adjust to the new team? They had to get used to your tendencies. You had to get used to your tendencies. Basically, how long did it take for the chemistry to mesh?
Yeah, so me and my little sister, we moved here in the summer, so we were fortunate enough to be able to be with them throughout the whole summer, which is a great thing. I feel like a lot of improvement happens in the summertime, so we knew we were going to be pretty good, but initially at the beginning of our season, we kind of weren't gelling together. You know, we played Derby and we ended up losing to them by quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when we realized we really needed to get things together. And I feel like after that, that was our turning point, and we really started to gel and realize our roles and start playing better as a team.
Absolutely. And, you know, like in speaking of Derby, y'all did come up with a split with Derby. So let me ask you this question, because Planning the AVCTL, I'm pretty sure there's multiple classifications of schools that y'all play against.
Yeah,
Do
there
you
are.
see much of a drop off between 5A and 6A? And I don't know, y'all may play some 4A schools. What is the level of competition? Is there much difference?
I wouldn't say that there is much difference. You know, Derby is a 6A school. They also went on a state tournament run. I think they maybe the Final Four, I'm not sure. But I don't know. I feel like there's not much of a difference. I mean, if you're good, you're good no matter what classification you're in. So
all right. Now one of the biggest things I like to ask this question too is, what was it that got you interested in the sport of basketball? And I also have to ask this, are you just a one sport athlete or do you play multiple sports, and what do you hang your hat on?
So I started playing basketball like around fourth grade, and I really just started playing. It was rec league. I started playing because my friends were playing, you know, and my aunt was the coach and she wanted me to play. So I played for her, and I mean, I was pretty good at it. I've been fast. So I was just really just outrunning everybody, but I really just enjoyed it from there and then started putting the work in and just realized that I wanted that to be my main sport. But I play volleyball and I run track as well. So.
All right, so you're a three-sport athlete. All right, so how good are you at volleyball then?
I started on our volleyball team at May South this year. We got third at state.
Third at state, okay.
But I'm just an athlete. I wouldn't say I'm very good at volleyball. I'm just an athlete, so I can play.
Okay, and if you're like Skylar. Because she's a multi-sport player too. She says she just runs track just to stay in shape. Now, are you a person that's running track just to stay in shape, or do you take it seriously?
I also run hurdles. Skylar runs hurdles as well, but I run track. I mean, I do it to stay in shape, but I'm pretty good at it. I run both of the hurdles, and I'm a four-time state champion in them.
So pretty much everything you touch pretty much turns to gold. So now I also have to ask this question right here. I asked all my young people that I have on here, I got to ask them this question. First question is, what's your grade point average?
I have a
3.98. So that would basically get you even into four-year school, because I'm pretty sure you passed the ACT test. Now, I want you to tell the people that will be listening to this podcast, what is the importance of maintaining a good grade point average and the importance of an education?
I feel like for me, I love basketball, but I don't think basketball is going to be my entire future. So I think that maintaining a good grade point average and staying strong throughout your education is important, so you can set up a future for yourself outside of sports, because injuries happen, events happen in life, and you can't always rely on your sports to take you places.
Absolutely. So you have a little sister that's on the team as well too. So what can we expect to see from her in the future at Mays South?
Yeah, I'm really excited for her future at Mays South. She's going to start putting a lot of work in this summer, and she's going to play a lot of a bigger role next year. I'm sure of it, and the year to follow. But yeah, stay tuned and see what she's going to be up to for sure.
I would definitely be staying tuned, because it has been over 30 years since I watched a high school game. And first game back, I was invited by Coach Joe Jackson. And when I got there, the girls' game was already in progress. So now I'm looking, and it was the rival game. Y'all was playing against Mays.
Mm-hmm.
And I was impressed, because y'all was pretty much boat racing them. I'm like, okay, this team is legit. And then when I seen the record, and then at one point, between the boys and the girls team, y'all had like a combined record of like an astronomical amount and only one loss between the two teams. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, this program is serious. Mm-hmm. So I was impressed, and I've been hooked on the high school game ever since. So outside of playing for Mays South, do you play any like summer ball? Because I noticed there's a lot of like I-35 Hoops Fest is going to be taking place in July. Of course, I know now you would be getting ready for college. As a matter of fact, you're gonna be teaming up with Smith girls at Butler County, which we're going to get to. But do you play any basketball for any other club teams outside of Mid-South?
So my freshman and sophomore summers, I played with the Banshees basketball club. That was my summer team. And then just this last year, I switched and I played with Southwest Elite for the summer. But this year, I'm just going to put my work in the summer. I'm not going to be playing on the team, just getting in the gym, getting ready for college ball.
Okay. And that leads me to this year, going to Butler County.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be teaming up with two of your rivals, Destiny and Madison Smith.
Yeah.
So how did that come about? And I got to ask this question, because you probably seen some of my comments, and I'm thinking, okay, because you're one of the top players in the state in 5A, which to me, I think you could have easily went to a four-year school, even say like a Wichita State for that matter.
Mm-hmm.
But you're going to Butler with the Smith girls, and we just seen Hutch's dominance. So I know the first thing is Butler-Hutch rival.
Mm-hmm.
How is the recruiting class going for Butler County, and how much of a threat do they pose to Hutchison?
You know, we have – the recruiting class has brought in a lot of girls from the Wichita area, as you know. A lot of them I'm friends with. I know me and Destiny and Maddie, we're rivals, but we're actually really good friends outside of basketball. So I'm excited to play with them. And some of the other girls that we've been recruiting I played with also in the past. You know, I feel like we're going to be a really unique skill set. And I'm excited. I know Hutch just won the Natty, but, you know, that doesn't really scare me.
Ooh, that sounds like shots fired right there.
No, not shots at all. Not shots at all.
Because, as a matter of fact, I believe one of the Derby teammates, she's going to Hutch. So, you know, Jamie. I kind of stirred that pot up, and she was like, "They were like, yeah, we already been talking trash on them." So, so I'm looking for it. So, I've already told people. I said I got two games that's going to be marked on my calendar, which means I'm gonna have to take two trips. I'm going to have to take one to Butler County. I'm going to have to take one to Hutch, because I want to see how that all plays out. So, I know this is kind of looking far ahead, and I'm not going to keep you on much longer, but if you had a choice of going to a four-year school, and I'm pretty sure some four-year schools recruited you, just like I know some four-year schools were recruiting, I think Destiny was recruited by UMKC. After your playing days at Butler County, what position do you look to be in as far as getting offers from four-year schools? Are you looking NAIA? Are you looking power conferences? Like I say, I believe you have the skill set to where you could play at a major four-year school. So what are your plans even after Butler County?
Yeah, I'm looking to go to Butler and make an impact while I'm there. You know, I'm really excited to go there. And then after that, you know, I am looking to go to a four-year school. It's really just going to depend on who ends up recruiting me out of Butler and who I feel like is a good fit for me. But I'm definitely looking to take that path.
Well, my thing is this. When I look at some of the area girls and some of the girls in the area and across the state, I always say it behooves the major schools here in the state of Kansas, KU, K-State, especially Wichita State, since I'm here in Wichita, to go after this homegrown talent. Because I believe that there is enough homegrown talent that if these schools here in the state go after them, you can rival any school in the nation. So I'm going to ask you this question, and I'm going to let you get out of here, okay? Terry Nooner gives you a call and gives you an offer. What's your response?
Right now? Like, if he called me right now?
Either right now or in the future. Terry Nooner gives you a call and say, look, we'd love to give you an offer.
In the future, yeah. I would definitely consider WSU. You know, I would love to stay around my family. But, you know, for me, it really depends on the relationship I have with the coaches. That was a big thing for me at Butler. You know, I really meshed well with the coaches, and relationships are a huge thing for me because I want to be happy where I'm at. So I would have to get to know them. But I mean, I would love to stay home, so.
Well, I do know one of the coaches on the staff, Antoine Scales, so, you know, we might can make that happen down the road, okay? Now, because you just said something, you know, you want to be happy where you're at, and I know in talking with Coach Scales, he said they like to create a family atmosphere, and that's the one thing I've seen between the two programs that I followed, between Mays South and between Derby. Y'all have a culture that is like family. So I know that's going to be the selling point right there. But I want to say thank you for hopping on the train ride. I am elated to have you. I know you said you're happy to be on here, but I'm just as equally happy to have you on here. And I want to wish you the best of luck. And I guess I just have to say it like this. Go Grizzlies.
Right. Go Grizz. Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I really
yes,
appreciate
ma'am,
it.
And thank you for being on. Appreciate you very much. All right, that was my special guest on the A-Train Sports Talk podcast, Miss Ashley Singate, Butler County bound. Yes, give her those applause. She deserves that. Some breaking news before I go to break here. Less than 30 minutes ago, we got word that O.J. Simpson has passed away at the age of 76. He was battling cancer, and he succumbed to his battle with cancer. So I just wanted to pass that news along that O.J. Simpson, even though we know his story, you know, you can't take away his accomplishments that he accomplished on the football field. You know, it's one of those situations where you have to take the bitter with the sweet. But the announcement that O.J. Simpson has passed away today at the age of 76, losing out on his battle to cancer. Well, I am now going to go ahead and take a break. And when I come back, I will have some more for you. So don't you dare go nowhere. Because this train is building up ahead of steam. Like I say, the number one podcast in the state of Kansas. So don't you dare go nowhere. Stay seated till the ride is done. I'll be right back. It is the A-Train Sports Talk podcast, the number one podcast throughout the state of Kansas, without any data to back that up. Bringing you the latest in all sports news from KCAC to AAC to the NBA to the NFL to the NCAA. You get all of that right here on the A-Train Sports Talk podcast with your host and conductor, Anthony Smith. Buckle up and enjoy the ride.
Mr. Max Market, formerly known as P&P, is fully stocked for all your grocery needs. We carry the largest selection of hot links in Wichita, including the world-famous Oklahoma links from Mountain View and Rogers, Kansas links from Yoder, Colorado links from Gold Star, as well as national brands such as Siegel and Dietz. Our meat department stocks ribs, pork butts, pork chops, brisket, hams, chicken, hamburger meat, oxtails, buffalo fish, whole catfish and fillets, and much more. In season, we stock hard-to-find produce such as red, yellow, orange, and purple meat, watermelon, cantaloupe, melons, tomatoes, corn, greens, okra, and more. We have a huge selection of fish fry, seasonings, sauces, and rubs, including the full lines of Louisiana and Slap Ya Mama products. In addition, we have all grocery staples including flour, sugar, bread, butter, cheese, snacks, milk, canned goods, candy, snacks, and drinks.
Chipped, cracked, or completely broken, does your vehicle need the Glass Man?
Hey, Glass Man!
Whether it's from recent hailstorms, a rock from the road, vandalism, whatever has you looking through a chip or crack, call the Glass Man.
Hey, Glass Man!
The Glassman will fix your vehicle's glass the right way with certified technicians that'll make sure your replacement glass is calibrated with all its original safety features.
Hey, Glassman.
Bring your vehicle to the Glassman just west of West Street on Central, or get it fixed by their mobile unit, 316-669-GLASS, or at heyglassman.com.
And now, back to the A-Train Sports Talk Podcast.
Welcome back to the A-Train Sports Talk Podcast, and once again, special shout out to my guest, Ashley Singate, made South Lady Mavericks, Butler County bound, along with a couple of other area players. So I want to wish her the best of luck. And you also heard as I was leaving out of that break, the passing of O.J. Simpson. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and give you more detail on that, and then we will get into some more news because things are heating up in the WNBA, and we haven't even gotten to the draft, but some shots already being fired. But the breaking news, O.J. Simpson dead at 76 following battle with prostate cancer. Retired NFL running back O.J. Simpson has died following his prostate cancer, his family confirmed Thursday. Simpson was 76 years old. The news has also been confirmed by TMZ and Fox. On April 10th, our father, Orenthal James Simpson, succumbed to his battle with cancer, the family said in a tweeted post from his personal account. He was surrounded by his children and grandchildren. During this time of transition, his family asked that you please respect their wishes for privacy and grace. Reports of Simpson's diagnosis began circulating in February, with some even claiming Simpson was in hospice. Simpson attempted to shut down those rumors with a video posted online. He says, "I'm not in any hospice. I don't know who put that out there, but whoever put that out there, I guess it's like Donald Trump says, can't trust the media." As a matter of fact, we might even have a little bit of audio from that.
Hospice? Hospice? You talking about hospice? No, I'm not in any hospice. I don't know who put that out there, but whoever put that out there, I guess it's like the Donald say, can't trust the media. In any event, I'm hosting a ton of friends for the Super Bowl here in Las Vegas. All is well, you know. So, hey, guys, take care. Have a good Super Bowl weekend.
And those were the words of O.J. Simpson back on February the 9th, 2024. So, once again, prayers and condolences to the family of O.J. Simpson. Well, you heard me say that shots are already being fired in the WNBA, and we have yet to even have the draft, which will be Monday on the 15th for the WNBA. However, Diana Taurasi, y'all know her. I think she's on the back leg of her WNBA career. Yeah, she figures if she's going to go out, she's going to go out in a bang. So first, Diana Taurasi trash talks Caitlin Clark. And the heading reads, "Diana Taurasi trash talking Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese is bad for the sport." So let's just get into this and see why it is bad for the sport. And of course, anybody who knows Diana Taurasi knows she's had a long storied career. Followed her, you knew she had a illustrious career at UConn playing under, that's right, Coach G.A. But Diana Taurasi, trash talking Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese. So, Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese are just two of the many names garnering national attention for women's basketball as the pair faced off in the Elite Eight, and Clark subsequently moved on to the Final Four and National Championship. One more name was in the spotlight. As Diana Taurasi broke onto the national scene in 2000 when she started her freshman season at UConn. She became a three-time national champion and was number one overall pick in the 2004 WNBA draft. Wow, 20 years has gone by real quick. She opened doors for generations of young girls in the future and paved the way for women's collegiate basketball to gain respect across the country. Taurasi has since won three WNBA championships and has turned the Phoenix Mercury into a powerhouse program in the league. Sue Bird, Taurasi's college teammate and fellow WNBA star, has joined forces with her Husky teammate to create a talk show since retiring last season. The Bird and Taurasi show has become a feature as one of ESPN's alternate broadcasts for big time basketball games. And you know, before I go farther into this story, a little bit of audio too.
100 points in a game? 105.
I didn't play the last 2 minutes though. Okay.
We keep coming back for our back pay. Thank you, ESPN.
Y'all ain't that good.
I have to say what you said I look like.
I can't say that on TV. You know, it's called hazing now. Plum can't do any of that. Speaking of fouling out, Cam's back. What we got, Sue? Asia Wilson, the number one cock in the building.
Oh,
I thought an 860 was good on the SAT. What did you get on your SAT?
A 1300.
Oh, jeez.
Yo, Cam Brink almost doubled your SAT score.
How smart is she? Jason Sudeikis.
Oh, I love a good entrance. I love a good entrance.
If people drove the way Caitlin Clark played basketball, there would be no traffic. What if the bun just popped off and we're like...
So you get the number one pick this year. You would take Paige over Caitlin.
Absolutely.
See, you gotta stop the
Where
bleeding.
Is Taylor Swift?
Because you can't go out there. Did you watch us in college?
What?
What?
Love watching you.
Y'all come on back now. Y'all just come on back now.
What she said.
She tapped this shit right here. Look at this.
Oh, man.
The memories.
Another good show. Another good
game. And what you just heard there was some girls chopping it up. The Bird and Taurasi show. So the comment's going, she says, however, during the 2024 NCAA tournament, basketball fans noticed that Taurasi's usually entertaining approach to commentary had taken an exceptionally negative turn. Taurasi repeatedly tore down Iowa's star player Clark as she fought to carry her team to a national title. It was to the point where people who were tuned into the Bird and Taurasi show started to change the channel for a different broadcast. To tear down a young player who has done so much to build up the sport simply doesn't make sense. She says, you look superhuman playing against some 18-year-olds, but you're going to come play with some grown women that have been playing professional basketball for a long time, Taurasi said to Scott Van Pelt about Clark. Not saying it's not going to translate, it may take a little bit longer for some people. Taurasi is most likely nearing the end of her professional career, and understandably, she wants to capitalize on her remaining time in the WNBA. However, to make comments that Clark and other players won't make cut in the league is detrimental to the women's sport. The WNBA and women's basketball have finally stuck their foot in the door of the national sports scene. a scene that has been dominated by men for nearly a century. Players like Taurasi are more than welcome to bring the heat to rivalries on the court, but tearing players down before they are even drafted isn't the point of using a platform to bring attention to the game. Many people are saying that Taurasi is a competitor and should get to talk trash. However, one could alternately argue that if she wants to be a competitor, then she should keep it on the court. If you're going to create a new space like the Burton Taurasi Show and use it as a platform for the sport, then you have to find a balance between the trash talk and building up those around you. Taurasi has failed miserably at finding the balance between the two. She hasn't been towing the line. She crossed it. "Wave bye-bye to your own career," Taurasi said about Angel Reese. Her endless tirade directed toward the next generation of WNBA stars not only turns people off watching Taurasi herself, but also disenchants the entire sport of women's basketball. Taurasi could and should take notes from one of the GOATs of the game, Dawn Staley. Following South Carolina's defeat of Iowa in the national championship game, Staley took a moment to give Clark a well-deserved moment of respect. "I want to personally thank Caitlin Clark for lifting up our sport. She carried a heavy load for our sport," Staley said. She's going to lift that WNBA league up. You are one of the GOATs of our game." Taurasi, take a seat and open your notebook. Professor Staley is speaking. That's how you do it. That's how you build the sport. That's how you support your fellow female athletes. That's how you use your platform for good. So, those are the words of some of the comments that you heard Diana Taurasi make towards Caitlin Clark. But how about this one right here? Diana Taurasi goes after LSU's Angel Reese. "Wave bye-bye to your own career." So Taurasi took a shot at another women's college basketball star. Days after Iowa's Caitlin Clark, about her upcoming WNBA career, former UConn star Diana Taurasi shifted her vitriol toward another women's college basketball superstar, LSU's Angel Reese, who made a goodbye hand gesture to one of the teams the Tigers recently beat in the NCAA tournament. Taurasi didn't take kindly to Reese's gamesmanship and tried to make a joke about the footage. "Wave bye-bye to your own career," Taurasi said during the latest episode of the Bird and Taurasi Show. Taurasi was corrected by Bird in the next segment after she was told Reese was in fact turning pro and entering the 2024 WNBA draft. Taurasi wasn't aware that Reese had declared after losing to Iowa in the Elite Eight. "My bad," Taurasi said. Reese says she has endured threats and emotional distress over the last year following last week's loss to Iowa in the NCAA tournament, ending the Tigers' quest at back-to-back national championships. Fighting back tears in the postgame, Reese poured out her emotions for portrayal as a villain within women's basketball. "I just try to stand strong. I've been through so much. I've seen so much. I've been attacked so many times," Reese said. "Death threats. I've been sexualized. I've been threatened. I've been so many things, and I've stood strong every single time. And I just try to stand strong for my teammates because I don't want them to see me down and, like, not be there for them. I just want them to always know I'm still a human. All this has happened since I won the national championship, and I said the other day I haven't been happy since then. And it sucks. But I still wouldn't change. I wouldn't change anything. I would still hear and say I'm unapologetically me. I'm always going to stand on that. Hopefully the little girls that look up to me know it's not this hard and all the things that come at you. But keep being who you are. Stand motivated. Don't back down and just be confident. So those are some of the attacks that Diana Taurasi has been pouring out on such college stars as Caitlin Clark and Angela Reese. Reese, though, were terrific in what's likely her final game as a college, as a collegian, after contributing 17 points and 20 rebounds against the Hawkeyes, highlighted by a scoring spurt in the first half, capped by a steal and layup in transition. Reese sent a message prior to tip-off ahead of the Elite Eight matchup with Iowa. After leaving a crown on the Tigers' bench at the Hawkeyes' side of the floor, LSU beats Iowa in last year's national championship game, which ended with a heated confrontation between Reese and Clark. Let me just stop right there. It was not a heated confrontation. And you wonder why come some of these athletes and some of these coaches don't trust the media? It's because of statements like that. It was no heated confrontation. Let me just see who is responsible for this. This article was put out by Brad Crawford, 24/7 Sports. I'd like to have a sit down talk with him and ask his opinion. Where was the heated confrontation at? Because all I seen was two hand gestures that said, "You can't see me." And we know how that all played out. The guest appearance. But anyway, what I am going to do right here, I am going to take another break because there is so much more to get to on a Thursday morning here in the Air Capital City. You're riding along the A-Train Sports Talk podcast with your host and your conductor, Anthony Smith. Like I always say, don't you go nowhere, because this train ride is still building up some steam. I'll be right back at you, so don't you go nowhere.
Mr. Max Market, formerly known as P&P Seed and Bait, is fully stocked for all your pet needs. We carry Victor, Bully Max, Diamond Value Pack, and many more brands. In addition, we carry collars, chains, and any pet supplies you may need, including grooming supplies and dog shots. Make sure to like us on social media.
And now, back to the A-Train Sports Talk podcast.
Welcome back to the state's number one podcast. And yes, I'm going all over. First segment, we had my guest on Player Spotlight, Ashley Singate, made South, who is Butler County bound. And based on what she said, they are not afraid of Hutch. And in my opinion, why should they be? I mean, I know three of the recruits. I can say I know them personally, on a personal level. They've been on the train ride. I've seen them play. I mean, I will say that that's shots fired, but that's not really shots fired. That's confidence. I mean, when you look at what Butler County has recruited, now I haven't seen what Hutch has. All I know is Hutch, just like South Carolina, they went undefeated and they won the, both teams won the national title on the women's side. Hutch in JUCO, South Carolina in NCAA. But you heard Ashley say it like this. She says, basically, we're not afraid. And why should they be? I mean, you got Ashley Singate, you got Destiny and Madison Smith. And they all got garnered some awards of some type, postseason award. Ashley, I believe, was most valuable player of ABCTL Division I. Destiny and Madison received some postseason awards. Those three right there alone, with their credentials, going to Butler County. And like I said, I would like to see some of these area hoop stars make one of the three state schools their home, and preferably Wichita State. I'm just going to throw it out there. I mean, there is enough homegrown talent around here in Wichita and the surrounding areas and in throughout the state upcoming, that if, let's say, for instance, if Wichita State made a bid and pitched and recruited the top talent, let them know, hey, we're serious. This is what we want our program to be. This is what we're trying to cultivate. Because I had Antoine Scales on, Coach Antoine Scales on. And, you know, he said, and my assessment is, you can't measure their success in their first year on wins and losses, but the culture is being established. And I believe from this past season and moving on up, it's just going to go up, up. And I asked Coach, what do you expect? This program being 5 years, he said, hanging banners without even batting an eye. I was on the phone with him, but I could tell by his response, he said that without batting an eye. And I believe that they're going to do that. But I also believe that some of these homegrown talent here will play a big role in that. Anyway, so much has happened recently. I mean, we had the national championship game on the women's side. We had the national championship on the men's side. I mean, stop and think about it. What's going on with women's basketball? This, well, let's just say it like this. This train started rolling and picking up steam last year when it was about Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark. This year, the spotlight, all eyes, Caitlin Clark had to at some point felt like Tupac. But all she did was go out and perform night in, night out. It didn't matter. She balled out. When it got to NCAA tournament time, especially the Final Four, the numbers, like anywhere from 14 point whatever to 18 point something. This is the second year in a row that the Women's National Tournament outdueled the men. And you just wonder now, by some of these players that are coming out and going to the next level, does it translate to more popularity for the WNBA? You know, I talked to a couple of people and they said, no, nobody wants to see that. They can't dunk. They ain't got to dunk. They still play the game at a high level. I mean, you see 18.4 million viewers. That right there in itself speaks volumes. Oh, and let me also say this. it also went up against, as far as viewership, WrestleMania weekend. I bet you WrestleMania didn't have nowhere near no 18 million viewership. If I was a betting man, whoever is watching this right now, I would bet you $1,000 WrestleMania did not touch nowhere near what women's NCAA final championship drew. It didn't. I'll take it. I'll bet you right now, and I'll take check that you're going to write me, take to the bank cash. But anyway, some of the things that are garnering the headlines here. Tara Vanderveer retires as women's hoops coach after setting NCAA wins record this year. Tara Vanderveer, the women's basketball coach in NCAA history, announced her retirement Tuesday night after 38 seasons leading Stanford women's team and 45 overall. The 70-year-old Vanderveer surpassed Mike Krzyzewski for the wins record earlier this year. Hall of Famer departs with 1,216 victories at Idaho, Ohio State, and Stanford, and as has been the plan for years, top Cardinal assistant Kate Pay is set to take over the program, and the school said negotiations with Pay are underway. Pay played for Vanderveer from 1991 to 1995 and has coached on her staff for 17 years. Vanderveer's last day is scheduled for May 8th, the 39th anniversary of her hiring. Her Stanford teams won NCAA titles in 1990, 1992, and 2021 and reached the Final Four 14 times. So, what else is trending? You know, for everybody that tries to build up a person, there's always that one that comes and has questions that, in a way, is tearing down. But what I'm going to do, I am not going to even look at that. Caitlin Clark wins second consecutive Women's Wooden Award. Iowa's Caitlin Clark won the John R. Wooden Award for the second straight year as the nation's top women's college basketball player on Tuesday. The other finalists were Cameron Brink of Stanford, Paige Buchers of UConn, and freshman Hannah Hidalgo of Notre Dame and Juju Watkins of Southern California. All five women have been invited to Los Angeles for the award presentation on Friday. After Clark led the Hawkeyes to their second straight appearance in the NCAA title game, where they lost to undefeated South Carolina. She led the nation in scoring at 31.6 points per game and in assists with an average of 8.9 per game, becoming the first player to finish number one in both categories in consecutive years. Clark became the career Division I scoring leader for men and women in her final season at Iowa. So, I have to ask this question too, because this debate is ongoing. And the question is, do you consider Caitlin Clark the GOAT? And if not the GOAT, one of the GOATs of the game. Some are saying because she didn't win a championship, of course, she can't win a championship by herself. That cannot conceivably happen. It is impossible for that to happen. It takes her and the other players. Of course, we know South Carolina went 9 deep. They went on their bench. They utilized their bench. As a matter of fact, their bench outscored Iowa's bench by the score of 37-0. In other words, if the starters for both teams wouldn't have played, thank God they did, South Carolina would have won the game 37-0 based on the bench. But that's how deep and how trustworthy South Carolina's bench was. So let's think of some high-profile players who we actually do call GOATs that didn't win a championship. Barry Sanders. Dan Marino. That's just to name a few. Caitlin Clark. You get my picture? Larry Bird College. Let me put it to you that way. Because we know once he got to the NBA, him and Magic came in at the same time, and that's what they ushered in. They ushered in greatness until someone else was able to come in and wrestle the mantle from him and take greatness to another level. But Larry Bird in college didn't win a championship. GOAT. So what more can I say? It's laid out right there. What she did for the game of college basketball, drawing attention, every game, every gym that she went to, I'm pretty sure it was a sellout. She was must-see TV, must-see in person. And that's not to mention on the other women. You have the Angel Reese. She probably didn't have, you know, probably to it. She did not have the same numbers that Caitlin Clark had, but she was still just as important to her team. I can't wait to see them at the next level. And that draft is going to be taking place right around the corner on the 15th of April. I know it just seems like I'm just rambling on and rambling on. But there is so much more, but I am not going to be able to get to all of that. What I will be doing is I'll be back on here Saturday, for sure, maybe tomorrow. It just all depends on how my scheduling goes. But I hope you have enjoyed today's podcast as much as I have enjoyed being your host and conductor. I do kind of want to touch up on something here, because it is most definitely sparking conversation, sparking controversy. I spoke on this on my podcast earlier when it happened in the state of Vermont. And it is dealing with transgender. And what has transpired is, if I can pull it up, college transgender sport ban sparks outrage. On Monday, the National Association of Intercollegiate Athletics, known as NAIA, became the first college sport governing body to impose a ban on transgender athletes participating in women's sports. And not everyone is happy about it. According to the new rules from NAIA, athletes of all genders may participate in NAIA-sponsored male sports, but only athletes whose biological, let me put some emphasis on that, whose biological sex assigned at birth is female and who have not begun hormone therapy will be permitted to compete in women's sports. Shawai Patel, senior counsel at the National Women's Law Center, expressed outrage at the decision from the NAIA. This is unacceptable and blatant discrimination that not only harms trans, non-binary, and intersex individuals, but limits the potential of all athletes, Patel said in a statement. It's important to recognize that these discriminatory policies don't enhance fairness in competition. Instead, they send a message of exclusion and reinforce dangerous stereotypes that harm all women. And Patel certainly was not alone in his regard, as many people took to social media to express their anger and frustration at this decision from the NAIA. Some of the tweets: National Women's Law Center at NWIC. NAIA's decision to ban trans women from sports is unacceptable. It's blatant discrimination that harms not only trans women, but all women. Trans athletes deserve a chance to play. Trans women are not banned from sports. They are free to participate in the appropriate sex category, including male athletes in women's sports, is disputed based on discrimination against women and girls. Here's another one from Human Rights Campaign at HRC. NAIA has banned trans women from competing in women's sports, even though the NAIA says they know of zero trans athletes competing in the NAIA. Making decisions based on right-wing misinformation campaigns is not good policy, it's discrimination. Kelly Robinson at Kelly J. Robinson. At NAIA's ban on transgender athletes is a cowardly decision that enables discrimination. We strongly urge institutions like the NCAA to reject this type of blanket discrimination. And there are so many other tweets that I could get to, but time will not allow me. But I hope once again that you have enjoyed today's show as much as I enjoyed being your host and conductor of the state's number one podcast. In closing, I'm kind of on the fence. I mean, if you are a biological male, you have some physical attributes that a biological female does not have. So I think some guidelines and some boundaries should most definitely be set. You know, the word fairness was used in that article, but what about safety and well-being? A school in Vermont was banned from playing for the tournaments because they forfeited a game against a team that had a transgender athlete. To tell you the backdrop of this story, looking at some of the video clips, this particular person that was a tranny was physically dominant, knocking girls over. So the story said, fairness. Well, how is it fair that you have someone that's physically imposing who's born a male posing as a female and maiming girls on the other team? Now, how is that fair? Make that make sense. Make that make sense. So there, you know where I stand. Anyway, until the next. Take care of yourself and each other. I'll be back again sooner rather than later. A-Train Sports Talk Podcast, your host, your conductor, Anthony Smith. I'm out.